God is a restorer. He likes to restore people. And though he is a great judge, he judges so he can restore you. I don't know if I've said this here before, but God spoke to me on my way here, actually on my way to Toledo one day. I was doing a revival there, and God spoke to me about his judgment and his love. And he began to say that the capacity for me to love you is based off my capacity to judge you. And I didn't know what that meant, but as he began to explain it to me, as just the way God communicates with me, he began to help me understand. Because he judges, if he did not judge, he would not have come and put himself on a cross for me. Because he is willing to judge sin to the greatest capacity, he said, I must be the sacrifice. So his capacity to judge you is as much love as he can give you. So in that way, I begin to pray, God, then judge me. And we don't like judgment. We don't like that word. But if you will begin to say, God, judge me so you can love me, he will begin to show you things. Hey, you need to repent about this. You need to turn away from some of these things, because I want to love you greater. I want to give you more of my love. His love is never changing. But the amount of love that you allow in your life can be greater. God will never be more than what he is now. God is God. His greatness is everlasting. It's eternal. He'll never be more than what he is now, because he is everything. But the capacity to which you can possess his love, you need to begin saying, God, get this out of my life. Judge this in my life so you can love me more. Thank you so much, Pastor Roberts, for allowing us to come. It is a great honor and privilege. We were just in California for a little over a month, and we just drove here straight from California. On Wednesday night, I preached, and we just started driving as soon as church was over. And I told Pastor, I said, I want to confirm with you that I can do this service, but I said, I just want to give you this. If there's any bad weather, I won't make it. And he said, that's a chance we're willing to take. And so I'm just so honored to be here today. And I know God has something great, because it was supposed to snow. It was supposed, our whole trip yesterday, it was supposed to snow, and there was hardly any snow. And so I was so excited all the way here. I was like, God, you want me there, don't you? So I'm excited. Now, I'm going to start my timer so I don't get lost here. But I am so excited what 2020 holds for the church. Our global missions director at General Conference, Bruce Howe, gave his global report that we have reached 215 countries and territories with the gospel, with the good news. Now, with that said, he said there's 15 to 16 more countries we have not reached. They are called non-access countries. We have not been able to get there because it's illegal to preach anything. But here's the thing. They're right now trying to put spies, spiritual spies, into these places so we can get the gospel there. I'm saying that to say this. In Matthew chapter 24 and 14, this is not part of my message, but I just, it's the pre to my message. In 24 verse 14, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. I've said that to say this, is we are very close to the end. We are, and this is not to scare you. It's to make you excited. It's to make you passionate. It's to show you the urgency of how close we are to the coming of Jesus. When every nation hears the good news of the kingdom, which that news is that Jesus came to the earth. He wrapped himself in flesh, this God Almighty, to pay the price for our sin. And when he died on that cross, he was put in a tomb for 3 days and he rose again. And when he came out of the tomb, he came out with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? And I just want you in 2020 to be urged, to be pressed, because we are so close to the end. Young people, you don't have time. I know your whole life is ahead of you. And I want you to do everything you can to have a great life. Get a good education. Prepare for your grandchildren. I want you to do that. But at the same time, do not forget that if Jesus comes right now, that you will be ready. We need to be ready because Jesus is coming soon. I hope you feel urged today and more passionate to reach someone for the gospel. As I was in Bible school, Brother Stone King came to the Bible college and preached just a great message on that Jesus was coming back. And at the end of his message, he said, if you knew right now that Jesus was coming back at midnight, what would you do? That's all I want you to do. That was his altar call. I want you to respond that if Jesus was coming back at midnight, do what you feel to do. And he left it at that. And as people rush to the altar and begin to pray and intercede for their souls, that they would be ready for Jesus to come at midnight, I was urged. I was pressed. I was burdened. I'm already ready for Jesus to come. But there are friends and families and lost loved ones and people that are out there that I don't even know, that if Jesus was coming at midnight, somebody needs to go tell them. And so I begin to get urged in myself and passionate in myself that God, if you're coming back at midnight, then I'm going to go reach everyone I can until midnight. We are at that midnight hour now. You need to get passionate and stirred up about the end time revival, because he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. You're going to see great miracles, signs, and wonders. But if you don't do it with passion and with the urgency that Jesus is coming back, because even 2,000 years ago in the first century church, they lived it like he was coming back then. And because of that, Peter was able to say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And the New Testament church seen great exploits because they were passionate that Jesus was coming back. Now, my main text today is in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37. It says, and then he said to his disciples, this is Jesus, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Let's go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 35. Do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he said, he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, also have labored, and you have not entered into their labors. others have labored and you have not entered into their labors. Now, one more scripture in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. The book of Ruth, chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go and glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. And have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessel and drink from what the young men have drawn.'" As I prayed for a word for the church, not just a local congregation, but the whole church in 2020, as I've prayed, "God, give me a word as I go from church to church and deliver something from you. What would you have for the church this year in 2020? Such a great year. And God began to speak to me. He said 2020 would be a year of great harvest. And so I want to preach to you on this thought. Let your eyes be on the field. Let your eyes be on the field. Can we put our Bibles down and pray for just a moment that God would give us revelation and He would give us understanding of what He wants for us in 2020. Father, I thank you for what we feel here in the Spirit. I thank you for the atmosphere that's been created here through prayer and fasting. I thank you, Lord, for the sacrifices of your people tonight or today. And I pray, Lord, that you would begin to speak to us, that you would begin to open our hearts and our minds, that you would send a spirit of revelation into the atmosphere here now, that we would be challenged, that we would be changed, that we would be greater as we would leave here, that you would help us, that you would increase our faith than what we came here with today. Father, I thank you. Anoint my lips, anoint my mind, that I might speak your word in boldness and in truth today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we one more time give God a hand clap of praise? Finding herself out of the will of God and realizing she had lost everything, makes the decision that she is going to return to the Lord. Her name was Naomi. Naomi had lost everything. She lost her husband and she lost her two sons. As there was great famine in the land of Israel, they thought that it would be better for them to leave the promised land and go to a pagan city and begin to experience their blessing there. And so because they left the will of God for their life, Naomi found herself husbandless and now without her two sons. And she was left in this foreign land all by herself. But before her sons passed, they had married and there were two daughter-in-laws. One's name was Ruth and the other was Orpah. And so as she said, "We're going to go back to Israel and go back to the land that was promised to us, because there's nothing left here for us." And so they begin to make their way to the promise. But as they're on their way, Naomi begins to break down and she begins to say, "Wait, Orpah, Ruth, you can't come with me. You need to go back to your own country. You will be foreigners in Israel. And so you need to go back to your families. Go back, get remarried, go have a good life, have kids." And she began to explain this to Ruth and Orpah. And Orpah, she begins to weep. And she comes to Naomi and kisses her on the cheek. And she says, "Yes, if that's what you want me to do, then I will go back to my people." But then Ruth comes and she weeps and she kisses Naomi on the cheek. But this is what she said: She said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts you and me. And so, in other words, Ruth is saying, Naomi, I know what you're telling me to do, but I've already made a commitment to your son that I was in this family until death do us part. And so I make that commitment to you now that I'm here until we die because we're just family now. Your God's my God. Your people's my people because I married into your family. And so she made this same commitment to Naomi. And as Naomi said, okay, if that's what you want, then we're going to go to Israel together. And so they part from that place and they begin to head to Israel. As they get to Israel, it's culture in the Hebrew culture that the women work the house and the men would go out into the fields. That's just how that culture was. It wasn't to minimize the woman's role. It was to say that was a hard job and that's all that the woman could do because it was such a big job. And so as Naomi says, well, I'm going to work the house. And she was probably a little older in years and she probably didn't have the strength to work the field. But part of the law said that if you're a widow in Israel, you could go after the reapers and reap in the field what the reapers left behind. And so she said, Ruth, you're young, you're vigorous. You can go out into the field because Ruth didn't know any of the law. But she said, you can go out, Ruth, find a field and begin to glean after the reapers. And then bring us something back so we could survive another day. And so this is what I want to explain to you today. Some of you today, you raised your hand when I begin to ask that question at the beginning of service. If you felt like that was you, raise your hand. Some of you might be in this survival mode like Ruth and Naomi. They went back to the promises of God. They turned back to the will of God. But they could only, when they got back there, they found themselves in this position of just survival. They would only have enough to go into the field and glean enough for one day's of food or maybe just a couple days of food and then maybe they would have to go out and do it again. Just to survive. Some of you feel that way in your spirit right now. You come to church in hopes that you could just get enough to leave this service and come back next week. Some of you might just feel like I need enough just to make it to prayer, midweek prayer, or our small groups that are coming up. I need something to take me just to survive from Sunday night or Sunday morning to the next group meeting. And you're in that survival mode. God wants to take you out of that. He's going to provide you something today, this morning, that's going to carry you. And you're going to have great victory. You're going to have such a great increase. Now, Ruth, what she did not expect when she went into the field is that the owner of the field would recognize her. Now, I just want to put this in perspective. The field that I'm talking about, let your eyes be on the field. The field, the Bible says the Lord is the Lord of the harvest. God is the Lord of the harvest. So the field that I'm talking about is the world. If you're in this world, which all of us are, you're part of the field. So you have to keep your eye on the field. But as you are going into the field and you are trying to reap something from the field, you need to understand that the owner of the field, you have his attention. Ruth didn't understand this. She didn't know this. But the owner of the field, Boaz, came to her after he had asked a bunch of questions to some of the men and different people. He said, "Who's this woman, Ruth? What is she? What's her story? Where is she from? Who is she? What's she all about?" And the owner of the field began to get the information, and he began to talk to the men and what to do about this. And so this is where our text picks up, is where Boaz begins to say to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go glean in another field. I'm here to declare to you, here, Church of Pentecost in Cleveland, Ohio, I'm here to declare, do not go glean in another field. You might feel right now, well, I've been coming to this church for years, and I just feel like I haven't got what I need. And you've been thinking, well, honey, maybe we need to look at going to another church. I'm here to declare, stay right where you are, because God is about to take you out of just a survival mode into great provision. And so you might be questioning, man, I need to go somewhere else and get something. And you've been saying, God, I don't know. I know I don't want to leave here, but I need something. And you don't even know what you're going through, but God is saying, do not go glean anywhere else. You might even be questioning about another job. You might be saying, God, I'm tired of working here. And I understand. I've worked in the career field, and I've worked at banks and newspapers and law firms, and I've worked in so many different types of jobs, fast food and McDonald's, and I've worked all these places. I understand the frustration and the stress of some of this stuff. But I'm here to declare to you that you need to begin working the field right where you're at. God has placed you right where you're at right now, at the job that you're in, because there's someone there that you need to glean, that you need to reap out of the harvest. The field is the world, and you have been sent into the field. You have been sent into the world to reap a great harvest in 2020. And so as you've been praying these prayers, God, open up another job opportunity. And I'm not saying that God won't, but I'm saying you need to maybe change your prayers. God, instead of giving me a better job, give me a better door to witness for you. Open up a better door so I could minister to someone, so I could be a witness, so I can glean them out of the field, out of the harvest. I want to reap a harvest in 2020. How many want to reap a harvest in 2020? Don't go glean in another field. You don't need to go glean from another church. We don't need more transfers. Transfers are great. They kind of know some things. But they could also bring a lot of mess. We want to reach the lost, people who have never heard the gospel. And the field is full of people that are waiting for you to go glean. They're waiting for you to come pick them up. They're waiting for you to share your testimony. They're waiting for you to tell them what God has done in your life and in this church. Do not go glean in another field, nor go from here. But stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap. Now, if you're going to stay in the field, then you must keep your eye on the field. And I know this is a little slow going here. I'm going to speed up here quickly. But if you're going to let your eyes be on the field, why should we let our eyes be on the field? Here's why Boaz told Ruth, let your eyes be on the field, because she wasn't the only one in the field. And I'm saying this because if you don't experience revival, someone else will. You have to make up your mind. I'm going to experience revival. I'm going to reap a harvest in 2020. You need to make that up in your mind. And because you need to understand this, Boaz, the owner of the field, had instructed men, his reapers, as they are in the, and I want to explain this, the reapers, they would go out in the field and reap. That was their job. after the reapers, then the widows could come and reap after them. Now, the reapers, I just want to show it to you this way. The reapers are angels. Angels are going out into the field. God's instructed. There's spiritual warfare going on right now in the city of Cleveland. There are angels that have been loosed to go out in the field and begin to reap harvests and begin to prepare places for harvest. And so then it's your job to go out after them and begin to glean something, because God's made provision for that. But Boaz had instructed the men to say, hey, I know what normal is left behind, but I want you to leave more behind than you normally leave. I want you to do it on purpose. And I'm here to declare to you right now that God has instructed angelic help to you in this city. And He has instructed, I want you to leave more for them than they've ever had before. Than what normally is collected, I want her to be able to get a great harvest. But here's the thing, God has instructed the reapers to do that. But if you don't let your eye be on the field, when those reapers begin to drop extra for you, if your eyes aren't on the field, you won't be able to go and say, oh, hey, there was some that was left here, and you can reap it. You need to let your eye be on the field so you could see where there are hungry people. You need to let your eyes be on the field so you know where that provision has been dropped, and then you can go and reap it. How many need something from God? In your prayers, when you pray, it's like you're going into a great field and you're looking like Ruth. Man, I need something to survive on. I need something for my family. I need some provision. And when you go out and you pray and you begin to intercede, it's kind of like that. You're going into a field looking for something. But God has made provision. When you go pray this year, there's going to be stuff that's extra. But you must keep your eyes on the field so you know where that is. You need to know what prayers to pray. You need to know how to pray. You need to keep your eye on the field. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Let your eyes be on the field. God has made great provision for the church in 2020. And then it says, and then you can go after them. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and then you go after them. Now, Pastor, I'm not trying to change the context here, but this is just how I like to read it. So, go after means when they go first, you get to go after them. It's your turn after them. Go after them. But I want to read it this way. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after it. That I want to do it with some passion. I want to do it with some zeal. When you see one of the reapers drop something to be reaped, it's time to get excited. Go after it. Get passionate. Say, I want to reap something here. Don't ever go into the field and not reap something passionately. Because when you do, I got to get passionate because I know God has enough for everybody, but I want to get so passionate about the things of God that says, hey, if you don't want anything, I'll come pick it up for you. I'll reap yours. If you don't want to reap it, I want to reap it. I want all that I can get. And if you're going to leave some behind, then I'm going to pick it up. I want to reap it. You need to make up your mind in 2020 that you're going to go after it. You need to get passionate about what God is going to do in Church of Pentecost 2020. Somebody needs to shout. Somebody needs to clap your hands. God, I want to be passionate about the harvest. I want to keep my eyes on the field. And then it says, have I not commanded the young men to not touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink. So Boaz is telling Ruth, I've already instructed the men that they can't keep you back from the harvest. God wants you to understand. So we fasted 21 days, right, Pastor? I know people do a 21-day Daniel fast. I'm not knocking that. So don't think I'm doing that. But Daniel, as he prayed 21 days, he wasn't praying 21 days to see a miracle. He was saying, I'm so concerned about the vision God gave me that I'm going to pray and fast until I get a result. And so, as you have prayed these 21 days, you have been praying for some results. You have been praying for some answers. And as Daniel began to pray and fast, on day 21, an angel appeared to him and said, Daniel, I heard you on the first day that you begin to pray. I heard you on day one. The angel didn't have to tell Daniel that. But he chose to tell Daniel that because he was trying to tell Daniel, and I believe it's for us today, that, hey, there's spiritual warfare going on. I could not get to you. The prince of Persia, a whole principality from another country came. They weren't in Persia. So a principality from another country, it was such a great urgent need that another principality came and was trying to keep Daniel from his word. And so as this principality came and began to fight with the messenger, his 21 days of prayer and fasting unlocked Michael the archangel to come and fight in his stead. And so the messenger angel could come through. And so I'm saying that because here it says, have I not commanded the young men to not touch you? God has made some spiritual provision for Church of Pentecost in 2020 that there's no principality that could come against you. There's no angel that's going to keep you from the harvest. You get to go straight into the field and you get to reap a great harvest in 2020. 2020 is a year of harvest. Of new souls. It's a year that your family will be able to harvest great spiritual things. And then it says, and when you are thirsty, go to the vessel and drink that someone else drew. So I want to encourage you with this word. Because in 2020, as there is a great harvest, and as you keep your eyes on the field, that means you're in the field. That means you're working. That means the heat of the day is pressuring you. And you get fatigued from all the work. And so Boaz said to Ruth, if you ever get weary in your body, if you ever get fatigued and you need some water and you thirst and you need some refreshment from all the work that you've experienced, he said, I've also instructed the men that you can just go in there and drink some fresh water and you can get refreshed. And I'm here to encourage you in 2020, those of you that are working for the kingdom, that you're out in the harvest and you feel weary at times because you're trying everything you can. You come to every service. You go to every small group. You even go to leadership meetings. And you go to all-night prayer meetings, maybe, some of you this year. Some of you need to begin to schedule some all-night prayer meetings. And you might get weary, but God has made some provision for you to get refreshed. Some of you might be here today, right now. You have been weary from the prayer and fasting. You have been weary from just the work of this year. God wants to refresh you today. It's time for you to step in the waters. It's time for you to begin to say, God, I'm here to get refreshed today. I need something from you. I'm ready to drink from the waters of the Spirit. If you are ever in need of some refreshment, God has made provision for you. He has instructed that there is no obstacle to refreshing. Now, I just want to give you a couple tools, and I'll be done real quick here. A couple tools on how to keep your eye on the harvest. The first tool in how you can keep your eye on the harvest is found through Ruth's sacrifice, or Ruth's vow to Naomi. Ruth said pretty much, "It's death do us part." And she would not have been able to go into the field and keep her eye on the field because that was not her law. It was not her custom. She didn't really understand everything. She just was doing what she was told. But because she made a commitment, a vow to Naomi that said, "Your people are my people. Your God is my God." She made a vow to Naomi, and so she was able to keep her eyes on the field. She said, "I need to watch. If there's going to be something I can glean, I need to bring it back to Naomi, because I made a commitment to her. I made a vow to her." So I'm saying that to say this. You need to make a vow to the harvest. You need to make a commitment to the harvest. And you need to say, "It's death do us part." You need to see your harvest. And you need to say, "Hey, this is what I want to glean in 2020. And if it kills me, then I'm going to glean it. If it takes everything out of me, I want to do it. I'm going to be passionate about my harvest. It's death do us part." Is there anybody that needs healing? Anybody needs healing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 10 people that need to reap miracles, healing. How many need a financial miracle? 1, 2, a lot of us, we need financial miracles. Pastor just showed me something before service. If we're going to get a new building, we need provision. Where's that going to come from? It's going to come from you. And if it's going to come from you, that means you have to get bigger jobs, bigger raises. You're going to receive some of this stuff. You're going to begin reaping some of this stuff in 2020. But you won't be able to reap it if you don't let your eye be on the field and you begin to make a vow to the harvest. Pastor, I know I'm weak. I know I might not have all the talent, but I'm going to let my eye be on the field. You can rest assured in 2020, I'm not going anywhere. I'm committing to the harvest. I'm committing to Church of Pentecost. Somebody needs to get zealous about the harvest. The second tool is found in John chapter 4 and verse 35, if my wife will come. It says in John 4 and 35, "Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." I'm here to tell you right now that you might feel inadequate right where you're at. You might say, I need more counseling. I need more instruction. And you might. But I'm here to say, do not wait because you're worried about, "I have to wait 4 more months because the harvest isn't here yet. I just don't feel like it's ready yet." Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not say 4 months and then the harvest comes. Because I tell you, if your eyes are on the field, they're already white for you to begin reaping out of the field. The fields are already ready to be harvested." So if you think your boss isn't ready to hear the gospel, hey, you might be a little off right there, because it might be right now that the field is white and you need to share your testimony. I know it's not good to share religion in the workplace. God didn't ask you to share religion in the workplace. He asked you to share your testimony in the world. You can get on to the religious topic by just saying, hey, John, I got to tell you something. God healed me. God healed so-and-so in church yesterday. You're not going to believe it. We were praying at the altar and somebody had cancer and God healed them. That's not bringing up religion. That's like saying I went to the doctor and I got some medicine. You need to begin to get bold and share your testimony, because there's a great harvest that's waiting to be reaped in 2020. Do not wait 4 months, then comes the harvest. Because the harvest is white now. Now is the time. You need to, this second tool is, you need to know that it's now. It's not tomorrow. It's not 2021. It's not 2022. It's right now. Right now is time for harvest. There were just these Holy Ghost crusades that took place in Bangladesh. And there were over 7,000 people that received the Holy Ghost for the first time. On top of that, there were over 7,000 miracles and healings that took place. Many people that were deaf were healed. Many people that were blind were healed. I say many, it's over maybe 50 people that were received healing. Just over blind eyes. That's a lot of blind people to be healed. We can experience that here in Cleveland. We can experience great miracles. But somebody needs to get passionate about the harvest. If we could stand, the last thing I want to give you is found in Matthew chapter 9, 37. It says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers. Why should we pray for laborers? There's two people that we need to pray for when we're praying for laborers. If you would just pray for laborers, God would take care of this church. Why do I say that? I say that because you might be the one that needs a laborer. You might be here right now and you're the one that you need a Bible study. You need someone to come speak a word to you. You need someone to begin to lay hands on you. You need someone to come encourage you. You might be the one in need of a laborer. And so instead of saying, God, I wish you would do this and do that and poor me and say all this stuff. And I'm not necessarily saying that's bad. God, we do need to ask God for things, but some of you need to start changing the way you pray. And you need to say, God, send me a laborer. Send me someone that will minister to me. Because when you begin to pray, God, send a laborer to me, that means you'll be receptive when pastor begins to preach a word. And maybe God's using pastor to be the laborer. Or maybe it's a Bible study teacher in the church that God begin to speak to them and say, hey, I would like to give you a Bible study. And that's God sending you a laborer. But if you're not receptive of that, when pastor preaches the word, it's not going to fall on good ground. When that Bible study teacher comes and approaches you and say, hey, I'd like to teach you a Bible study. Instead of being ready because you were praying for a laborer, instead of that, you're going to be maybe, well, I got work and I don't really have time to, I have so much to do after work. And you might make up all these excuses. So you need to begin praying, God, send me a laborer. Now, some of you, this is the other person, you might not be active in any part of the church other than you come to service. You might come to special events and stuff like that, but you really don't have too much invested. You are the one that needs to say, God, send laborers. You might not have a desire or a burden or a passion, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad about that. If you don't have a burden, you don't have a burden. But if you will begin to pray, God, send laborers into this church, God might begin to say, hey, this person's praying for some laborers. I'm going to give them a burden. When you get a burden from God, God begins to give you strength that you don't possess so you could fulfill the call or the burden that He's laid on you. And so you need to begin praying. Hey, I might not have a burden, but if I begin to pray to the Lord of the harvest, send some laborers, He might not send you. But if you will pray, God, send laborers, who knows, He might just use you to lay hands on someone and they might be healed. He might use you to begin to pray and speak great words to people. In Ruth chapter 2, and I'm done with this, Ruth chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, so she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. An ephah of barley, that's after she's got all the seed out of the, all the stuff out of the grain, or out of the, I don't know what you call it, bushel, bundle. And so as she began to beat all that out, an ephah is like a big bowl of wheat that would last several, probably month of provision, maybe more. And so she gathered in one day, when they normally only gather enough just to survive, she gathered enough in one day to provide for her family and more. Now, I'm saying that because by the end of the story, by the end, it says Ruth, in Ruth 3 and 17, it says, and she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Now, I want you to receive this with revelation. I want you to receive this with authority in your life right now. I want you to put this in your spirit, because you're going to reap something today, and you're going to reap stuff you did not work for. So Ruth, she only had enough strength. She only had enough to gather 1 ephah of barley. But by the end of it all, Boaz said, you know what? You gathered 1. I'm going to give you 6 more so you can go back to Ruth, not empty-handed, but full of provision. And so, in other words, he was saying, you worked for 1, but I'm going to give you 6. God, 6 more. That means she left with 7 ephahs of barley that she could take to Naomi. I'm saying that because God has instructed me to tell you that if you will use everything you have and glean from the harvest, he is going to give you 6 more. If you could understand this, if you will just reach 1, he's going to give you 6 you did not work for. And so I'm here to encourage you. Pastor's vision, he wants to see 50 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in 2020. We've already reached 7. If you times 7 by 7, that's 49. God wants to give you double what you had. He wants to multiply it. And so I'm here to declare, and I'm not just saying souls. God wants to reap souls in this city, but if you need healing, if you need freedom from anxiety or fear or depression or some past hurts, you can go into the field today at this altar and you can begin reaping out of the field peace. You can reap out of the field joy. You can reap out of the field the Holy Ghost today. If you need the Holy Ghost for the first time, it's time to get in the field. And it's time to reap something. God wants to give you something you did not come here with. So with that, I'm done. This is what I want us to do. If everybody will come to the altar, if you can physically come, I want you to come. Thank you for coming. I'm so excited. I can feel the Holy Ghost at work right now. God has already sent angels before us to work the field, to begin to leave provision for us as we go into the field. I'm so excited what God is going to do. If you could, please press up to the front. There's people in the aisles. I want you, as many people that could come up here as possible. Now, as you are up here, I'm so thankful that you were courageous enough to come. But I want to ask you, if you need healing, I know I already asked this, but if you need healing in your body, I want you just to raise your hand. Healing in your body. 1, I'll start over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. About 30 people need a healing. Now, I'm going to ask one more question. Please, it's not to call you out. It's not to embarrass you. Because God wants to give you something. He wants to give you something. He wants you to leave here empowered. If you need the Holy Ghost for the first time and you want it, you can leave here with it today. Would you just lift your hand up? If you need the Holy Ghost for the first time, one, anyone else? Anyone else? If not, that's okay. One, okay. God wants to give us the Holy Ghost. He wants to give us miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, I'm going to give us some instruction, but I just want to speak a little bit of faith. I want to increase your faith for just a moment. I was at a church in Florida this past couple months. As I was in the church, I just began to tell them, the Holy Ghost is for you. If you need a healing, you could come. Everybody that came to the altar that needed, I think there were maybe 15 or 16 people that needed healing, 14 of the 16 received a healing. There were three people that came to the front for the gift of the Holy Ghost. All three of them got the Holy Ghost. Now, after the service, the altar call was done. I just felt like there was something else God was wanting to do. And I said, is there anybody else who needs the Holy Ghost for the first time? There was this 20-year-old girl. She had just got back. I think she was on break from college. And so she was right on the fourth row back. She raised her hand. She said, I want the Holy Ghost. I said, you need to come right here, right now. I'm going to lay hands on you. You're going to speak in other tongues. You could see the Holy Ghost falling on her. By the time she got to the front row, the Holy Ghost had fallen on her. And she was just broken. By the time she made it to the front, I said, I'm going to lay hands on you, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost as soon as I lay hands on you. Before I could even touch her, she began to speak in other tongues. That's the presence of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of God. And that's here right now. That same Spirit is here right now. If you need healing, it's time. So after that service, actually there was this other service. The next Sunday, I preach kind of the same thing. God wants to heal you. God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. Everybody that came to the altar was healed. At night, that was the morning service. At night, pastor said, hey, before you preach, I've had all these people say, I have testimony from what God did, what God healed me of. And so he said, when you get up, before you get up, I want to do a testimony service. So we just had testimony service before I preached. And I was like, man, that's better than me preaching. So let's do it. And so as somebody lifted their hand, she started off. She said, hey, I have a testimony. She said, I've had sciatic nerve pain for years. And she said, God healed my sciatic nerve pain when you prayed for me this morning. And then another lady, she lifted her hand. She said, I've had TMJ. And I'm saying exactly how she said it. She said, I've had TMJ for weeks now, actually for months. And she said, I haven't been able to eat cheeseburgers. And she began to say, I want to eat cheeseburgers. And she said, when you prayed for me, she said, the TMJ is healed. She said, I'm able to eat a cheeseburger now. I said, praise the Lord. I'm so glad, because that's depressing. And then another lady, she lifted her hand. She said, I have a testimony. All the same service. She said, when you prayed for me, she says, I've been on a liquid diet for over 2 weeks now. She said, I can't swallow because my esophagus hurts so bad. She said, I haven't been able to swallow anything solid for several weeks now. She said, when you prayed for me, she said, God took away the pain. She said, I can eat solid food again. I'm telling you, God doesn't care what the sickness is. He doesn't care what your problem is. He wants to heal you. Just one more. And then another guy, he raised his hand. He said, hey, God healed me this morning. And I, in the morning when I prayed for this guy, I didn't feel anything. You know, I mean, we didn't feel anything super, you know, powerful. But we just had faith. And we prayed for him. He left before the altar was even done after I prayed for him. So I was kind of like, oh, man. But he came and he said, I could not lift my arm. He said, my doctor found 2 years ago, I've had a torn ligament in my shoulder for at least 3 years. He said, they found it 2 years ago. He said, my bicep has shrunk because I've lost all muscle. He said, I don't have strength in my arm anymore. He said, I cannot lift it over my head. He said, when you prayed for me, he said, the ligament was healed. He said, I could lift my arm without pain. He said, and the bicep, my muscle has grown. He said, my muscle has returned. 3 weeks later, I get a call from the pastor. He said, brother so-and-so, he called me out to the car, this guy that was healed, his torn shoulder. He said, he called me out to his car. He said, pastor, you got to come out to my car. I got to show you something. He had a hatchback. He lifted up the hatchback. He said, pastor, this is 3 weeks later. I can still lift. There's no pain. I could not lift my hatchback in my trunk for years now. He said, I'm healed. That same guy, he brought his sister up. She was elderly. She had a walker. Again, I didn't feel anything extra special. I just had faith that God was going to heal her. They walked out of service, but he found out Wednesday, right after service, the next Wednesday, they went to the doctor. I did not know what she had, but she had been diagnosed with bone marrow cancer. And she went to the bone marrow doctor. He said, we don't need to see you again because there's no cancer. And I'm here to declare to you, God is so good. If you will just have faith, He's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you'll just have faith, He's going to heal you today. So this is what I want us to do. We're going to repent together as a congregation. Because I don't want anything hindering what God wants to do. And I know you don't want anything hindering what God wants to do. So if you need something or you don't, we just all need to repent. Let's get right before God. Let nothing come between us and God today. Can we do that for just a moment? Just repent of your sins. This doesn't mean that you say all the junk that you've done, but it just means, God, I'm turning away from what I've done. God, forgive me of those thoughts. Let's do that right now, God. Forgive me of every sin. God, forgive me of every infirmity that I've done wrong. Everything that I've done against you. Everything that I've done to wrong you, Lord. God, if it's come up against you and it's come against me, God, I want you to cover it with your blood. God, forgive me of the words that I've said that I shouldn't have said. Forgive me for the thoughts, the way I've thought that I shouldn't have thought. For going to those places I shouldn't have gone. God, forgive me for smoking those things I shouldn't have smoked. God, forgive me. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. I don't want to drink that stuff anymore. I don't want to do those drugs anymore. God, forgive me of all of that, God. I want to be made whole today. I want to be made right with you. I don't want anything hindering me of what you've done or what you want to do in my life today. God, for those things I don't even know that I've done wrong, forgive me of those things that I've done that I don't even know if I did them. God, forgive me of all of my sin today. Thank you. I repent in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now that we have repented, it's done. It's not going before you, before God. It's done. He's washed it away. His blood has covered it. So you don't have to feel like God doesn't hear you. You don't have to feel shame or guilt that it's coming between you and your miracle. Now, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. And when I say, I'm going to count to three after I pray the prayer of faith. We're going to shout hallelujah as loud as we can. We're going to worship God with everything we got. When we do, God is going to open the gates of heaven. You're going to receive the Holy Ghost. You're going to receive healing. You're going to receive miracles. You're going to receive financial blessings. Angels are going to be dispatched. You're going to reap a harvest today. So this is what we need to do. We need to have faith. The Holy Ghost is a gift. It's a gift for you. You can't earn it. You can't be somehow good enough to have it. God gives it to you. It's a gift. So as it's a gift, you have to say, then I want it. It's a gift. It's for me. I want it. That's faith. I want it. I receive it today. If you need healing, I want you to do the same thing. If you need healing, you need to say, God, you're healing. It said, by your stripes we are healed. It's for the church. It's for me. I receive it. I want it today. You need to say, hey, I have faith for my healing. If you have a financial miracle, Pastor said last time I was here, I said, prophesy to your future. He said there was a couple that came. They looked at their bills before church online, and they didn't know how they were going to pay it. But he said on Monday, he got a call from this couple, and he said that when they got home, they had prophesied to their bills. They were cut in half. That stuff happens. That happened right here. Now, you must have faith, but now you need to have some focus. Don't worry. I know I've gone a little long today, but don't worry about food. Don't worry about what tomorrow holds, what your job has. Young people, don't worry about what's going to happen when you get back to school on Monday or when school, you know, your graduation. Don't worry about any of that. Just focus on Jesus today. Just focus on the miracle today. Focus on the Holy Ghost. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the healing. And then you're going to have desire. Desire says, I'm not leaving here until I have something. I'm not leaving here until I feel inside me that I've received something. That might be your healing. That might be the Holy Ghost. That might be peace. That might feel a feeling of restoration. That, who knows? You all have something you need. You need to have faith and you need to have desire that says, I'm not leaving here without it. I want to leave here with it today. That's desire. And then the last thing we're going to do, and I've already said this, we're going to worship God like we have it, like we possess it, like it's ours already. We're going to do that. So as we do that, can we just practice this for a moment? Can you just lift your hands? Everybody just lift your hands. We're going to do, don't pray yet, but we're going to do this together here in just a moment. We're going to lift our hands. You can put your hands down. Just so you know you can do that. It's just lift your hands. You're going to receive something from heaven. Now, with that, as you just receive from heaven, I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. I want you to close your eyes. Now let's lift our hands. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith, and we're going to receive something from heaven. When I count to three, I want us to worship God like we've never worshiped before. If you need the Holy Ghost, I'm going to pray that prayer and we're going to shout hallelujah as loud as we can, and you're going to begin to speak in other tongues. As you shout hallelujah, you're going to receive a healing. You're going to receive a miracle in Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. By the authority of the Word of God, in the power of the name of Jesus, I lose faith into the atmosphere here now. I lose faith into every heart that's in this place right now. God, I lose the gift of faith that people would be healed, that people would have the faith that they could receive the Holy Ghost, that they would have the faith to receive great things from heaven today. I loose it now, and I bind every principality, every power that would come against this church, that would come against the miracles, that would come against the healing, that would come against the Holy Ghost right now. I loose every angel to be dispatched right now to begin to work in our lives. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. But in Jesus' name, 1, 2, 3, hallelujah!